VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a multi-prong attack on children today, and it's coming from many fronts. And it really shouldn't surprise us, because when you go back to the communist goals as read into the Congressional Record of 1963, you'll see things like goal number 40, to discredit the family as an institution. Goal number 41 says, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Other goals, such as number 17, speak of getting control of the schools, the curriculum, and the textbooks. And yet other goals speak of getting a hold of the media. So we're being warned for many decades now as to what these goals are. But to see this all play out in this war against children is very disconcerting and alarming. And as parents and as grandparents, you need to be informed how children today are being targeted as they are right in the crosshairs. Joining us on Crosstalk today, we welcome back Robert Knight. Bob is a former Los Angeles Times news editor and writer, was a media fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, townhall.com, AFA.net, and others. Robert has held senior positions in a number of pro-family organizations. He's co-authored some three books, written 10 others, including The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. Bob, welcome here back to Crosstalk.
Oh, it's always good to be with you on Crosstalk, Jim.
Bob, I brought up the communist goals at the outset, and I mean, what we're seeing, what we were warned about in the early 60s, we're really seeing this played out today, are we not?
Yeah, and it's so obvious now, and it's taking many forms. And one reason I wrote my column was, the whole Disney aspect was an obvious column subject, because, you know, Walt Disney World, it's all about kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they turn and they prefer the policies of the alphabet people, that is the LGBTQ plus activists, over that of families, that of parents, then something's deeply wrong.
Yeah.
And Bob Chapek, who is the Disney CEO, not only criticized the bill that Governor Ron DeSantis has pushed, the legislature passed, called the Parental Rights in Education Law, which would ban classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation and gender identity for kindergarten through third grade. You know, I thought, okay, Disney's against that. They're against a bill that prevents the sexualization of children before they're even in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
How do you oppose something like that? Keep a straight face.
Yeah, you know, and that's the whole context for this. I mean, here we have the governor of Florida, Governor DeSantis. He's been an advocate for protecting children in pre-K through the third grade from sexuality studies in the school. And the media, though, has kind of turned the narrative on this, calling this a "don't say gay" bill. And I saw the clip where the reporter, talking to the governor in a press conference and asking him about this "don't say gay" bill, and the governor cornered him and turned the tables on the reporter, saying, "Where in the bill do you find that? Where do you find that?" Well, you know, that's what's being. Well, where do you find that in the bill? Well, the reporter couldn't, and the governor was absolutely frustrated, and because that's the narrative that's coming from the LGBTQ activist groups and on this bill, but nowhere does it say that. They are trying to protect young children from sexuality studies in the young ages of pre-K through the third grade.
Yeah, well, they always win by adopting the language they want and then forcing the media to go along with it. And they don't have to do much to force the media. The media are willing allies for anything the left proposes. In the area of sexuality, the media have been marching in lockstep with the whole LGBTQ agenda and the abortion agenda as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about abortion care, and they make parental rights laws for permission to let your daughter have an abortion if she's underage, something that's onerous and something that, you know, it's big government pushing down on people. And they do whatever the left tells them to do, especially in the area of sexuality. And I saw this, you know, for years while I was working at the L.A. Times and other newspapers. The reporters would just go along with whatever the left wanted to call something. Mm-hmm. And they, even today, words like pro-choice, gay, I mean, that's all made up to make it sound nicer. And this don't say gay, that was everywhere in the media, Jim.
Yes, it was.
You noticed it. Yeah, AP, the networks, CNN, I mean, that's what they called the bill because they were told to do that. And it doesn't take much to get them to go along because most of them were marinated in left-wing politics when they went to college. They come out of these schools, including Ivy League schools, and they're spouting Marxist nonsense. And so they really don't recognize the threat it poses to American liberty and the American family and Christianity.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they think, well, good, we need to burn everything down and start over on the ashes.
Bob, I know in this aspect as well, the legislation also would bar teachers from coaching children behind their parents' back on this issue. And there's a lot of that matter going on, and we're seeing it play out in schools here in the state of Wisconsin, where there are teachers who are allowing students to have one identity at school, a different identity when they, you know, walk out the doors, and in some cases will refuse to give parents that information. And in essence, that parents have to earn the right to get that information from them. But this legislation would say, hey, schools, you cannot be coaching children on this issue.
Yeah, talk about getting between kids and the parents. I mean, it's outrageous. And let's call this for what it is, grooming. They're grooming children mm-hmm. to set them up for sexual exploitation. And the LGBTQ crowd doesn't like that term because it's so... it tells you what they're really up to. but let's use another term they don't like, molestation. I mean, when you sexualize young children, there is no good reason other than setting them up to be molested.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason that it's logical, that's right. They talk about it being about fairness and inclusion and so forth. These are little children. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus warned that anybody who messed with kids should better have a millstone wrapped around their neck and thrown into the sea. He was very protective of children, and we should be too.
Well, and Bob, I'm going to play an audio clip because this takes us back just a few years. There was an individual by the name of Dylan Pontiff who was testifying before a committee. I don't recall if it was a school board or city council meeting about these drag queen story hours. And he actually used that term of grooming. Here's the clip from his testimony.
Hi, my name is Dylan Pontiff. I'm actually going to be one of the drag queens reading for Drag Queen Story Time. So apparently to a lot of people in this room, I'm the big boogeyman. And as you can see, I'm probably the most unintimidating person you've ever seen in your entire life. I decided to do this event whenever it was introduced because I have nieces and nephews that I love very much, and I am a person that has been through a lot in their lives. I've been bullied most of my life for being a gay male, being not necessarily what the typical man is. And I thought that this event could be something that shows people and shows children, especially at that age, that understanding that people are different than you doesn't necessarily make them unnormal or makes them not good. And I think that what's truly sad is that once I was announced as the person reading, the amount of hate that I received because of this resolution that is been presented to this board, I've been called an it, I've been called disgusting, and I don't think any of these people know me well enough to say any of those things, but I think that the true misunderstanding of what this event is supposed to be and what me dressing up in drag for it is going to be. I am not there to push any kind of agenda. I was told at the library council meeting last night that I'm pushing the trans agenda. I'm pushing an overly sexualized agenda. and that is furthest from the truth. I am just as talented as a singer or a dancer or anyone that has a special talent. It just mine is dressing up as a woman and entertaining a crowd. Now, everywhere you can go, you can see that people can change their views for certain audiences. Just as much as someone can be an actor and be in an actor movie for a rated R movie, and they can go around and be in a G-rated movie, I can go and entertain an adult in a club, but also entertain a group of students and young children. I'm able to do that because I'm an adult and I know how to filter myself. And I just think that it is implorable of some of the opinions that I've seen and some of the looks I received here tonight. The eyes that people give you whenever they think that you are the one that's in support of this event is truly disgusting. And I am not here to obviously change anyone's views about me. But I'm here to let you know that this event is something that's going to be very beautiful. And for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation. We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did. And just because I said that, you heard the little plore of people behind me. It's disgusting. We are trying to teach people to be tolerable, to be patient, to be loving. And the fact of the matter is that I'm standing right here and there's probably 50 people behind me looking at me with daggers, wishing that I would probably die in a car wreck whenever I leave here. It's truly implorable. And that is what we're trying to do with Drag Queen Storytime. We're trying to raise people to be loving and caring individuals. And I really hope that this event is going to do that for not only just the children at this event, but children in the future. Thank you.
Bob, grooming that next generation.
Yeah, and subjecting children to freaks like him is somehow unloving. Loving. Mm-hmm. And anyone who objects to it is disgusting. Did you hear that narcissistic tone he took? It was all about him and what kind of person he was. In other words, it didn't matter what the children were being taught, what they were exposed to. It was all about him and how, oh, these people don't like him, they want to kill him and everything. No, they're just disagreeing with his behavior. They're saying that, you may have a problem yourself, but you don't inflict it on small children. And, we're disgusted by that.
Yeah, and also, he expresses how these people behind him were so intolerant of him, but yet in his statements he was very intolerant of those who were sitting behind him.
Yeah, if they didn't go along with this, then they are disgusting, you know. Everything's disgusting. We didn't used to have to explain why you keep people like this away from small children, did we, Jim?
No.
Just a few years ago.
No.
I'm amazed at the number of people who have bought into Drag Queen Story Hour. I think they've overreached. I think it repels most people who have natural views of life and sexuality.
And as we circle this back, I mean, that's what started this conversation here, because Governor DeSantis is saying, no, we want to protect. We want to protect our preschool through grade 3 children of these kinds of things going forth. And yet you mentioned the CEO of Disney. Tell us again the action that he took, and we're just 30 seconds from the break here.
He said he would put pressure on Governor DeSantis, and he criticized the bill, and then he said, okay, Disney's going to donate $5 million to the Human Rights Campaign and other gay pressure groups. In other words, we're going to war with you over your attempt to protect kids from sexualization.
What's interesting,
Disney.
Folks, yeah, and what's interesting, folks, is that initially HRC rejected the money. And why did they reject it? Well, you're going to learn more about this after the break as we talk about the war on children. Robert Knight is our guest here today. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, you say that there was no death before Adam sinned. But what about plants? I mean, didn't Adam eat plants?
Yes, Chris, Adam and Eve did eat plants in the Garden of Eden. But was this really death in the biblical sense? There's a profound theological distinction between plants and animals in the Bible. Both man and the animals are described as having life, Hebrew nephesh, which plants don't have. The term life is reserved for those animals in whose nostrils is the breath of life, and also by the fact that life is in the blood. Plants have neither breath nor blood. Thus, the eating of a plant in the Garden of Eden wouldn't necessarily involve death. Plants are biologically alive, but they're not biblically alive in the sense that they do not have true life. You see, Chris, there's always an answer to the anti-creationist questions. Back to Genesis. Now that works.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight is our guest here today, a former writer, a news editor, and writer for Los Angeles Times, and has worked with a number of pro-family organizations, writes columns for a number of publications on a regular basis, and talking today about the war on children. And we saw this coming forth from Governor DeSantis and trying to protect children in the state. And the majority of the legislature of Florida thought this was also a good thing to do. Disney, however, took some pressure from the Human Rights Campaign. Before we talk about more what happened there, who is the Human Rights Campaign, Bob?
Well, that's the largest gay pressure group in the country. They've been around for many years. I've debated their president several times in national media, and they insist that homosexuality, transgenderism, it's all normal, and anyone who says otherwise is a bigot who needs to be suppressed. I believe that although they deny it, their end game is to criminalize Christianity, make it impossible for people to have jobs, to speak out in public, to have Facebook pages, whatever it takes to crush opposition to their very radical sexual agenda.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is this. So a pledge was made by the CEO to give $5 million to the Human Rights Campaign, but they wouldn't accept it. Until Disney would put real muscle into killing the Florida bill.
Yeah, Joni Madison, their interim president, said, "We won't accept the money from Disney until we see them, quote, build on their public commitment and work with LGBTQ plus advocates." Today, they took a step in the right direction, but it was merely the first step. And I write that this is why they win. They're never satisfied. They can get 95% of what they want, and they'll say, "What have you done for me lately?"
Right.
Whereas our side tends to get a little bit, you know, maybe 10% of what we want, and then we kind of grovel and thank them so much and go back to our homes and businesses and so forth. These people are in it for the long run. They are dead set on turning us into the kind of society where basic biblical morality is outlawed. It's become something illegal, like racism. I mean, that's the whole idea, is to equate biblical morality with racism and say that, okay, it's so onerous that we need government muscle to suppress anyone who expresses those views or lives them out. It's, you know, years ago they assured us they were not interested in marriage. You know, that was a lie made up by opponents in the Christian right. We're not interested in marrying each other. We just want tolerance. We just want to be left alone. And, well, we know what a lie that was.
Yeah.
And the other lie was, we're never going to mess with children. You know, this is a lie that we're after your kids. And here it is, front and center.
Yeah.
They want to sexualize kids from kindergarten on. And the teachers' unions are behind it, too.
Well, you know, so we looked at what's happening there in Florida, but there are so many other corporations, and I know they have this equality index on corporations and ratings and so forth, but other corporations are launching a war on children. On Conservative Daily News, I mean, they report in Texas some 65 corporations like IBM and Capital One, Apple. I mean, they all signed this letter in the Dallas Morning News, written by a Human Rights Campaign organization opposing Governor Abbott's investigation of instances where young children who have gender dysphoria are being given cross-sex hormones and other treatments. And the governor referred to this as being child abuse. But these corporations are piling on the governor and the actions on that issue at this time.
Yeah, I think they're biting off more than they can chew. I think this is going to hurt them, because when you keep raising the issue of children, that wakes people up.
Yeah.
And Governor Abbott is absolutely spot on when he calls it child abuse. You take some child who isn't even grown to adolescence yet, and you tell them, oh, maybe you're the other sex. You ply them with drugs that could hurt their development, and you promise, hold out the promise of surgical mutilation of their bodies. This is child abuse. There is no excuse for it. And, you know, there are people who had been that route and have regretted it for the rest of their lives. How about giving people a chance to grow up and then develop naturally and then see which way they want to go? You know, our hearts as Christians have to go out to people who are that sexually confused that they think they're in the wrong body and they want to be the other sex. Okay, that's a serious affliction for them, and we need to treat them with kindness, but to go along with it and aid and abet, like surgical mutilation, is not compassion. It's not kindness. It's going along with someone's mental illness, frankly.
And, you know, Bob, I'd like to, just this morning, as I was going through my daily emails, I came across a story here on CBN, and the headline caught my attention, said, boy, we're going to be talking about this. Is a California mom says the state pushed her teenage daughter into transgender treatments, leading her to commit suicide. A California mother speaking out against her state's public school system, accusing it of brainwashing children about gender ideology. A 16-year-old daughter struggling with gender identity led her to take her own life. Overcome with emotion, Martinez described her daughter as a girly girl during her early childhood, loved to dress up like a princess, but during 7th and 8th grade started showing signs of depression, and she decided she wanted to be a boy. She started high school. The doors opened to what she was talking about, like transgender, going to meetings, going to the support that they think they have for these children, which is not, the mother said. The school counselor was involved with Department of Children and Family Services, was involved. LGBT was there too, trying to, quote, help my daughter in the transition of being transgender. Martina says she met with the school principal, the counselor. They actually made things worse. After a failed suicide attempt, her daughter was placed in foster care and started going by the name of Andrew. The school psychology and LGBT took the Department of Children and Families that my daughter would be better off out of the house. They took away my daughter when she was 16. I tried my best to get her back. She said she went to court every single month. When I went to court, I asked the judge to please let my daughter have a psych evaluation. But since her daughter's social worker said she needed acknowledgement as transgender, the judge denied the mother's request. She said an LGBT group encouraged her decision to transition to a male identity and told her that the state of California will pay for the surgeries. She used the courts to focus on the mental health crisis rather than the gender identity issue and to help her from the inside out. A social worker warned the mother that talking about God was going to make him, referring to Andrew, her daughter, feel uncomfortable because he's in danger of committing suicide. But, Bob, it was too late. The daughter committed suicide by kneeling in front of an oncoming train. And the mother concluded her story by saying she hoped no other parent would have to endure the heartache that she experienced. Thank you, public education system.
Oh, my gosh, that's so shocking. It's just, you know, words fail. There's an epidemic right now, especially among girls, to identify as transgender. Abigail Schreier has written extensively about it. She has a book out about it. And she's a liberal, but she sees the dangers here. She said these people are misleading children into sexual confusion. Studies from way back show that if children who are confused about their sexual identity are left alone, 95% of them will come out and eventually reach their natural sexuality and go on and, you know, just function that way. But not if somebody messes with them and says, why don't you try this? You're probably this way. They're pushed into this behavior. And they're even told now in the kid culture that if you don't at least try it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So there's tremendous pressure on kids to be sexually unconventional, to put it lightly. And they are trying to criminalize any attempt to give them help. You know, that a lot of states have passed conversion therapy bans, they call them. Conversion therapy is the term they made up for just counseling, talk counseling, where you try to talk someone through why they feel the way they do and try to lead them toward a natural outcome. A lot of these kids are confused because they got molested when they were little or they've been subjected to nonstop propaganda. But to say that parents cannot get a licensed counselor to help them overcome these feelings, and it's against the law, shows how far we've moved toward criminalizing Christianity.
You know, before we move on to just another topic, Bob, I can't help but at least alert parents about this new film that's out as well, Pixar, Turning Red, 13-year-old girl torn between being her mother's obedient daughter, the chaos of youth, And when she gets excited, she turns into this big red panda. And I saw one review of this in which they talk about just the rebellion against parents that this movie presents. But the reviewer also indicated that the girl is drawing sexy pictures of her crush, snuck into a co-ed party to, quote, give boys rides, likes gyrating, starts twerking at her mom. Other things we're not going to get into here. But also this quote that the girl gives, my panda, my choice. I mean, where does that come from?
Oh, yeah, my body, my choice. Yeah. It's been a feminist slogan for years.
Yeah.
You know, I got a better movie for people. It's called Whose Children Are They? It just came out this week, and it's a blockbuster documentary that if you see it, you'll never see the schools the same way again. Mm. And I have seen early copies of it, and it's astounding. In fact, they have a blue ribbon set of producers and directors who helped make it. One of the producers was involved with Schindler's List and other big Hollywood pictures, but it was headed by Deborah Flora, who's a Colorado mother whose kids were being sexualized, and she said, I've had enough. I've had enough of critical race theory. I've had enough of the explicit sex ed. Let's take a look at what's really happening in schools. Yeah. Parents need to know. They've gotten hints of it here and there in Virginia, where I live. You know, there's been an open revolt against the sexualization and the critical race theory in schools. They elected Governor Glenn Youngkin and Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears and Attorney General Jason Myers, all Republicans, and they elected a Republican House, all coming out of the school issue, that parents have had it, that they're tired of being cut out, they're tired of being called domestic terrorists. They've had it.
And if that
happens in deep blue Virginia, what's it going to be like around the rest of the country come November?
And textbooks is another area of assault. I mean, the critical race theory being taught to children.
Yeah.
I mean, children being taught to hate our country, being taught to hate one another. If somebody's got a different skin color or tone of skin, you know, to hate one another.
And, you know, the left-wing educators have learned that critical race theory is now a poisonous term. So they don't call it that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, we're on to them. So they call it equity education, inclusion education. It's the same thing.
It is.
And it all starts with making little white kids guilty because they're white and having exercises showing how they think they're superior and they have to get over it. And that the poor little Hispanic and black kids and Asian kids are perpetual victims. They can never rise on their own. They need lots of help from a socialist government to make sure they're equal with these hateful little white children. The whole thing's poisonous.
I'd like to introduce one other topic here on the war against children, and you indicate another key front in this war is this massive PR campaign by the media, by the Biden administration, by drug companies to inject children with COVID-19 shots and then keep them masked. But we've got a half minute before the break. We'll get it introduced here and then pick up later.
Yeah, what set me off was a Washington Post editorial entitled Secure Shots, and they lamented that, quote, the smallest kids still lack a vaccine, unquote. I'm thinking, wait a minute, COVID's on its way out. Kids aren't remotely at risk for COVID-19. Very few develop serious illnesses, and very few have died, and those had really heavy comorbidities. So the average child has no business having an experimental drug injected into him or her for this pandemic that's now almost over.
6 months, trying to have it on six-month-old babies, infants. More on this issue after the break. Robert Knight, our guest here today. And folks, have something to write with, because we're going to be providing you a website, an email address as well, and also we'll give you opportunity to be calling in here in just a short time. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words in the beginning all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
The War on Children, our topic here today on Crosstalk. Robert Knight is our guest, and Robert, we were just talking about another aspect, another prong of this attack on children. We've given some already, but this matter of this media blitz and the big, massive government spending campaign, and we understand the government has been paying big bucks as well to the media, but this massive PR campaign about this whole matter of COVID-19 and shots and encouraging children to stay masked, et cetera. This is something that just went way off the charts.
Oh, it did, and this is why we still have a trucker's convoy circling the Beltway, even as I speak, because the truckers, it's not just truckers, it's Americans from all walks of life with American flags on their cars and stuff, and they're basically driving around trying to get the attention of Congress saying, stop the madness,
Yeah. Stop
the propaganda, we're tired of lockdowns. Mask mandates that don't work, forced injections, vaccine mandates, vaccine passports. We don't want you to set up a totalitarian state based on vaccination. We've had it. kids are the latest battleground because they've been testing them. And Pfizer found out that a two-dose vaccine worked well to stimulate antibodies in children from 6 months to 2 years old. What parents let their kids be tested like this? But did not work in children from two to under five. So the company is now going to try hitting those kids with three doses. And the Washington Post sums it up and says, at issue is not vaccine safety or tolerance, but whether it's effective.
Wow.
Yeah, you really care about these kids, don't you? It's shocking to me that they're going to just experiment on these children.
Bob, how has the masking of children in the schools, how has that impacted them over these last couple of years?
Well, here's a very interesting finding from the CDC itself, which I believe has been lying to us on so many counts that it's not funny. But on this one, they have moved development milestones back to later ages. These are communication skills that children should have by the time they're five or six or seven. They're moving them all back. And nobody's connecting the dots between that and the Zoom education and masking. They're denying that masks cause any problem for children in learning to communicate. In fact, I saw a Post headline, Washington Post, on March 8th, studies suggest masks don't inhibit kids from learning how to communicate. And so I ask, seriously, do you know any children? Do you have any children, seen any? I mean, babies begin reading lips as early as 8 months old, looking for clues to communication. The lower half of the face is very important to communication. They're saying it has no effect at all, masking the kids and masking adults around them.
Robert Knight with us here today. Bob, we're going to be opening some lines here in just a moment, but I first want to get out some information. Your columns, your writings, you make these available for people across the nation and free of charge. All they have to do is email you and ask for them.
Yeah, in fact, your program, Jim, nets more people signing up for my weekly email than any other. After we get finished with the show, I get all these emails at robertknight4@gmail.com. That's the numeral for robertknight4@gmail.com. You just have to write. You don't have to write me anything. You just put sign up. That's all you have to do is put in the subject line, sign up, or send me your email or whatever. And then it goes out every Monday morning. It's online in the Washington Times on Sunday night, and it's in the print edition on Monday morning. But my list gets it 6 a.m. Eastern time every Monday morning. No charge. You don't get spammed. It's just once a week. So I welcome listeners to go ahead and sign up for it at sending me an email at robertknight4 @gmail.com.
Yeah, folks, it won't be the kind of editorials you'll find in your newspaper locally there.
No.
But you'll get another perspective on matters that are going on. And again, all you have to do is send an email to Robert Knight, and Knight is spelled with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, the number 4, Robert Knight, numeric 4 there, @gmail.com. And just in the subject line, just put sign up, and you don't have to say anything else. And Bob will get you those weekly emails. That's Robert Knight, 4@gmail.com. And Bob, in addition to that, you also have a website that will tell us about, and you've got a number of books there as well, but give us a word about your site.
Yeah, this is a good way to catch up with past columns I've written. It's on my blog right there at the top of the website. The website's easy. It's roberthknight.com.
Robert H.
Add an H in the middle.
Okay, roberthknight.com. RobertHKnight.com. And even when you click on the store, folks, you'll find things, and he has just super discounted his books. I see this one right here, Bob, A Nation Worth Fighting For, normally $15. You've got it 80% off for just $3 through your site. And they'll find other things there, Radical Rulers, The Truth About Marriage, and numerous other books there, too. So you can go to RobertHKnight.com, and you click on store, you'll find those offerings. By the way, folks, our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. We're talking about the war on children today. Your perspective. I mean, we've given you some examples, current examples of matters that are going on where your children, your grandchildren are in the crosshairs. How do you respond to that, friends? Our number, 800-733-9829. Bob, we're seeing big bucks. I mean, we've seen the media. I mean, the media has just been complicit with all of this all along.
Oh, it has. You know, I've often said that the media have changed immensely since the time I was a reporter before that, but an editor in the Los Angeles Times newsroom. And I knew a lot of liberal reporters, and they did a good job. They had very pronounced liberal views, but they knew the trade and the craft, which was to get both sides of a story.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get both sides, you didn't have a story. Because there, even the Bible tells us, you know, something seems right until you talk to the next person. And that always had to be the case, but it isn't anymore. These young journalists have come out of colleges where they've been marinated in Marxist doctrine, and they believe they're there to change America and move us toward a one-world government, a green climate zone, a socialist economy. They feel it's their mission to do that, not to report the news anymore and let people decide for themselves.
Yeah.
It's really that bad. You cannot get the truth out of if you just look at the legacy media, whether it's the networks, CNN, the big newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, you're not getting the truth anymore. It's that bad.
Friends, our phone lines are packed. We're going to go right to the calls here, but write down the number. As you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to call, 1-800-733-9829. Let's begin in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Maxine, you're on the air.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. I just want to say I so agree with the speaker, and I think Christian parents need to wake up to the Disney animated movies they allow their children to watch. I used to see Lion King and Shrek, and when you look at them, you realize the propaganda that's in there. And I'm not familiar with some of the newer movies, and the fact that Disney is now supporting homosexuals should make us not want to support Disney. And I also agree about the masking of children. As an adult, I have trouble communicating with other adults that have masks on, so I just appreciate what's being said.
Thank you, Maxine. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Greg in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you, and thank you for this program. God bless you, Robert Knight.
thank you.
I call it Grinnellism. I'm now in Tucson, but I was a private school history teacher in Massachusetts, a cancel culture teacher, I guess you would say, for many reasons, among which is what you deal in. But Rick Grinnell has basically taken over the Republican Party. There are candidates running here in Arizona who are proudly associated with Rick Grinnell, and he's a poison in the Republican Party. He represents the whole LGBT agenda, and Republicans are holding hands with him. I am just disgusted at the direction they've taken. And I'm really sorry to say that Trump was one of his biggest fans, giving him high ranking in the Republican circle.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Robert, to your comment.
Well, that is a problem. The Democratic Party is totally given over to the LGBTQ agenda, whatever they want. I mean, whether it involves kids, it doesn't matter. They're totally radical. I believe the Marxists have finally conquered that party, and they're a threat to America. And they'll say, oh, that's hateful, and, you know, we should just be talking. And you're kind of wrecking the country now, and I more people realize it, and that's why we need fair and honest elections. As far as Rick Grenell, he's very popular. He's very articulate. He's very conservative other than his sexuality. And people try to say, well, that won't have any bearing on what he does within the Republican Party. But I'm afraid it does. The log cabin Republicans are an openly homosexual Republican group. And they raise money, and they try to sway the party away from traditional values. I think a lot of people are impressed by the credentials. Rick Grenell was ambassador to Germany, I believe, and Trump thought highly of him. And, of course, you know, Trump is still hated by the LGBTQ people because he got rid of the school mandate for transgender education. He turned it around in the military. They think he's a horrible enemy. And yet he was kind of liberal. He was kind of a live and let live guy on the whole LGBTQ agenda. But the, you know, the problem with the Republicans is that they don't know how to oppose these forces that are undermining the church, the family. And here's the funny thing. The Hispanic population, the black population, are waking up to how radical the Democrats have become, and they're moving toward the Republican Party. And the single biggest issue that would push them into the Republican column would be the school issue, education, how kids are treated. And the Republicans, with people like Rick Grenell around, are afraid to talk about the moral issues because they don't want to alienate them. So I agree it's a problem. I think a party is not a church. They often like to say that, and that's true. However, if the party doesn't stand for strong moral foundations, and in any Western society, one party tends to do that, and the other party tends to kind of work away against that. You look at any major Western nation, and you have the two sides. The Republicans have gotten kind of big and lazy, thinking, oh, we'll always have these church folks on our side. We don't have to do a lot. I think they need to do a lot now. They need to fight for us.
Let's go to George in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to make a comment. We as Americans, and especially the world globally, have been read our Miranda rights. We have the right to remain silent. And anything we say or do will be used in a court of law against us. But we tend to forget that we have the power of our prayer closet, which is 24. It's 100,000 times more potent than the one visit to in the voting box.
Yeah, well, George, and we're up against a break here, but I don't say it's either or; it's both. Prayer is vitally important, but also we need to be effective agents as salt and light. And so it's not either or; it is both. We'll be back with more of your calls following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last year on my radio show, I began to read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation that's entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Well, what is that moment? When will that moment be? My friends, I believe that moment is pretty much right now. What's going on? Massive food price increases, massive inflation, a fertilizer crisis, a fuel crisis. Much of this has all been manipulated. So many of the things that this administration and central government have done have been done deliberately to bring down America. Do we really think that many of the people in office today are working for America, or are they working for China? All you got to do is read the book by Peter Schweitzer to know many of them have been caught red-handed taking the money and influence of China. And now they want to accomplish what the Communist Manifesto calls for, getting the government control of the food so they can get control of the people. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Report.
Yes, indeed, folks. We've been silent too long, and we do need to speak up. We need to be salt. We need to be light, and we need to be in prayer. Bob Knight is with us here today. And by the way, if you'd like to receive his monthly, or I'm sorry, his weekly writings that come out on Mondays, all you have to do is send him an email, robertknight4@gmail.com, and just put sign up in the subject line. Robert Knight, Knight is spelled with a K, robertknight4@gmail.com. And he'll be glad to get you signed up there. And the website also, you can check out past columns at roberthknight.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines to Thomasville, North Carolina. We have Jason calling. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Howdy, howdy. Hope y'all are having a wonderful day.
We are. Thank you for calling.
So just I'm sure y'all are familiar, but for your listeners, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, referred to our televisions as the family satanic altar. With that knowledge, I have raised my daughter in a house without a TV. I don't subject her to anything, although there is good out there. I will not deny that. But to touch on Disney itself, there are many, oh goodness, many, many things that pop up within their shows and movies that are meant to steer our children's minds. Unfortunately, I have learned that the hard way. Somehow, some way, my daughter learned about Mirror Mirror, which, if you're familiar, is in one of the Princess movies. That is a conjuring. It is a conjuring where your children are taught to stand in front of the mirror and speak to the demons.
Yep. Thank you, Jason, for raising those issues here today. And again, the war on children. And Peter, Robert, I've had Peter LaBarber on recently. Some of these areas are just so subtle, but they're put in these programs for a reason.
Oh, yeah. You know, Shrek, which is a very entertaining movie, the original Shrek, it has a transgender bartender in it. You know, and it's got to confuse small children. They're gonna, is that a man's voice with the this person who appears to be a woman? It's, you know, it's just, there are other little items added there too that are just really suspect. So what they do is they just, they're sneaky about it. They just inject it because the overall product is so darn entertaining. They think, oh, well, we'll go along with it anyway. And for the most part, they're right. But, you know, Disney was subject to a boycott in the early 2000s because Christian groups got upset. They were going far off the other end, and that had an effect. The Disney officials met with the Christian groups, and they backed off with Miramax, their film division that was getting racier and racier. So, you know, boycotts do work. The media say they don't, but they do, but they have to be very targeted.
Let's go to Joan.
Another topic.
Joan in Carroll County, Arkansas. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. I'd like to share my experience when I was, I'm a veteran of the Air Force. And in the 80s, there was this big push that homosexuals couldn't help. They were just born that way. But that isn't really, of course, that isn't true. But my experience was within basic training, the lesbians that were in the basic training, they would pick out the more vulnerable younger girls who were lonely, and they would really push their agenda on them. And then I was older, so that was helpful for me, but I was in a male career field, and there were like 50 guys and four girls, and often that attracts more masculine type women. And the lesbians that were in the shop, they would approach the other women, like myself, and they would say, you know, you don't really know if you're bisexual or not unless you give a try to the other side.
Wow.
And they would say things like that, and they would say, I know somebody that would like to go out with you, meaning some other woman that they knew. And they would also tell you that you don't really know what you would prefer unless you sleep with a woman first, and then you can decide. If you don't like that, then you can go to
And I don't want to go too far down this path here, Joan, but the sad thing is these are the same kind of things that are coming forth, Peter, as well into the educational system or the counsel that will come from the professional counselors to young people who are separated from their parents as they go through this.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're telling these kids, how do you know if you haven't tried it?
Yeah.
I mean, they are recruiting them. You know, they don't like that word, but that's exactly what they're doing.
And thank you, Joan, because you brought up that, and that's what it is, recruitment, even as it was going on in the military aspect. We're trying to keep our emphasis here on the war on children. Tom is next, and Toma, you're on the air.
Yes, number one, thank you for your email. I really like getting it. Number two, doing this stuff around in kindergarten to third grade, I didn't even like girls until I was like 12 years old, and that's way after third grade. And then the number three thing I wanted to say is I bet they wouldn't complain if I wanted to do that conversion therapy and make me a homosexual. They probably approve of that one.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Well, Peter, they are approving. It's just if you try to counsel somebody against, you know, their same-sex attractions and so forth, that's the problem. You can affirm, but you can't contradict anything that would cause them to question otherwise.
Yeah, and the problem is it's a force of law. I mean, they've outlawed it. Say, in California, they said you can't take your minor child for licensed counseling. That's against being pro-gay. So, I mean, this is, you wouldn't think Americans would subject themselves to this, having the government come in and get between you and your kids, but it's happening.
It is happening. Jackie in Kentucky, you're on the air.
I believe in the Bible. There's words and verses in every book, all 66 books, that is sharp enough to go against what these the sin that these children seem to be facing.
Mm-hmm.
I've read it, and I just haven't listed them all, but I don't think name calling would help, but I believe it needs to be listed and the words need to be said. I don't know if the children are allowed to say them or not.
Well, indeed, God's Word does address these issues, and male and female created he them. We know that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's ordained of God. We see that in Scripture. Morality is there. It condemns the sin of homosexuality and says, such were some of you. And, Bob, that's where there's hope for those that are struggling in this area, that there is redemption and forgiveness that's found through Jesus Christ.
That's right, and that's the best quote you can give somebody who's struggling, that such were some of you. The Apostle Paul told a group, and he listed a number of sins, and one of them was homosexuality.
Yeah.
And this tells me that there were people who had recovered from it, had regenerated minds thanks to Jesus Christ, and had gone on to a more natural, better life.
Robert Knight, our guest here today. Bob, stay on the line, but thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for getting the word out.
The War on Children, folks. And again, sign up for his columns, robertknight4@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.